There you go. See, you gotta have a mom's wand to tell you to record. Amen. The book of John, chapter 17. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 in the King James. And it says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Glory to God. Now, where we're jumping in on the story that, or the account that the Apostle John has written for us as being inspired by the Holy Spirit, is this is a point now where Jesus is about to go to the cross. And he has walked with the disciples, and he has taught them, and he has trained them, he has blessed them, he has shown them. And now it's his life mission is almost over. But before he goes, he prays to the Father. He makes a distinction, says, "Lord, while I'm here in the earth, I want to pray to you concerning those whom you have given me." And he said something in verse 3 that we're going to focus on today. He said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And so if we want to know or have a definition of what eternal life is, I believe the best place to go is to what Jesus said. So what is eternal life then? Jesus says this, that life eternal is knowing God and knowing him. That is the definition of an eternal life. And so I'm making this point here as we are in our year of soul peace and spiritual well-being, where we practice the presence of God. I'm making this point is this. Jesus said that our eternal life, which we now have through him, has come by knowing. It's about who you know. It came by knowing, not by doing. He could have said, "Yep, this is eternal life." And they do all the righteous stuff that they've been made. Eternal life is being sure that you cross all the T's and dot the I's. He could have said that, and if it were true, he would have. But what he did say was this, that eternal life is based on knowing God as the true God and the only true God, and Jesus Christ who was sent by God. That's eternal life. And so in knowing that and understanding that, we can see how what Jesus said about eternal life really fits into the area that we've been focusing on, which is what? The area that we've been focusing on is that what we do is based on who we are and who we know we are. Or let me put it this way. Who we are will determine what we do. And so Jesus here confirms that for us when he says that we have been given eternal life based on who we know and not by what we do. And so eternal life, let me make sure we all understand what eternal life is. Eternal life is the divine life of God given to those who believe on the Son of God. Eternal life, it's another way of saying salvation. It's another way of saying being saved. It's also another way of saying being a child of God. Eternal life. Eternal life is having the divine life of God living on the inside of us. as Jesus told us in John chapter 14, that he would send the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost, once we believe on him. And so, this eternal life, again, emphasizing, is based on who you know. Now, we have to also say, let's just talk the whole thing here. We do have to say that the doing part is important, isn't it? It is important that our performance or the things that we carry out, the duties that we carry out as have been made the righteousness of God, because we are righteous, then we do righteous. So the doing, yes, is also important. It is. Certainly important, so we're not downplaying that there is a doing part as well. But again, what we are seeing here is the actual power, though, is behind who you know. Jesus plainly shows us that even in John chapter 14, verse 15, John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, watch this. He's also saying, this is the same statement. He's saying, loving me gives you the power to keep my commandments. And see, again, here it is. Eternal life is who you know. The keeping of the commandments or the doing part of our salvation is also based on who you know and who you love. So what we can say here then is eternal life is relational. It's relational. Eternal life is relational. Our salvation is relational based on who you know. And not just who you know, but it's the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent is the definition of eternal life. Now, I love Jesus in John chapter 14. You can turn to that if you want. It's only one page over in my Bible, or two. I want you to see something. Because remember when we said that there are some literary devices that the authors use to emphasize and stress a thing. And one of those things is called repetition. Remember we said that. And so here, the Holy Spirit has inspired the Apostle Paul to write this. John, the Apostle John, to write this in chapter 15, in verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? I get that. I got that, Holy Spirit. But just in case you don't get it, though, verse 21, let's say it this way. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Oh, okay. That's another way to say it. Okay, I got it now, Holy Spirit. I got it. Oh, but wait. Just in case, let's do some comparison, some compare and contrast here. What does that other side look like? Well, verse 24? No. Yeah, verse 24 then puts it this way. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. So just in case, we had a few questions here about whether or not, how does this keeping the commandment thing go? We've seen it on both ways. It's relational. So the being and the doing part of the eternal life that we have been given is relational. I know I keep saying it because I want you to get it. Jesus said this. Eternal life is knowing the Father and knowing him, the one whom he sent. Hallelujah. And so, let me say this. These are my own words, but based on the study, I believe, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, to pull all of that together of what I just said, is this. Then can we say, the degree that we know him determines the degree in which we are able to realize the unlimited blessing of eternal life. I'm going to say it again. Because what we saw here was the principle that was clear, that eternal life and the both the being and the doing is relational. That's the principle here. So based on that principle, can we say that the degree that we know him determines the degree in which we're able to realize the unlimited blessing of eternal life? The degree to which we know him. And so now if that's true, it really just makes good sense for us to place our emphasis and our focus on knowing him. We know this. We do know him. When we believed on Jesus and the promise of the Spirit came and lived inside of us, then we have a knowing of who he is. We have it already, don't we? Yes, we do have it. And we can attest to it. And if the Spirit of God gives us witness that we know we are the children of God, we know it. There's this other thing about the Bible and our Christian life that as we are studying, I'm speaking to us as Bible scholars, as we all are, as we are studying the Word of God, it's a thing for us to know and understand. It has a formal term, which I can't remember right now, but what it means is the things, the promises of God are now and not yet. Now and not yet. Such as, we have received salvation and we have it now. But the redemption of our bodies, the ultimate of salvation, is still to come. Right? We have received the righteousness of God through Christ, and we have that now. Yet we're growing in the process of realizing the maturity of that righteousness. So now and not yet. And you'll find that element all through the Bible. And with that being said, as I said before, if we know now, then that knowing and to the degree that we know God increases our ability to walk in the blessing of God, the blessing of eternal life, then it makes sense for us to pay some attention to who is he? Who is God? Who is he? Relational, we talked about relational. Remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about the different levels of relationship. We talked about how Jesus, John 15:15, Jesus was talking to his disciples. And he says, disciples, you know, you were my servants, but now I call you friend. And why did he say that? He said, because I've told you everything about the Father. You know, so now that you know all these things about the Father, we now have an intimacy here because you know about me. It's just like us, and we have different degrees of relationships with people. You know, we could have someone that says, we may say, hey, this is my friend, but they're really an associate. You know, I work with them. And maybe we have a close friend, and this is somebody we have some commonality to, you know, some of the same habits. We go and do some things together from time to time. But then there's that best friend. Best friend knows everything. Like, you have been completely vulnerable with best friend. Best friend could be surprised about nothing because best friend knows it all. And can we also say to the degree that we categorize our friendships is also the degree of intimacy that we have with those people. Best friend, real intimate with best friend. How about husbands and wives? We said before, husbands and wives who can complete each other's sentences because they know each other that well. Intimacy, right? And so, as we are focusing on intimacy with the Father, to know him in that intimate way, there's one point I want to make today, and only one, and we're just going to stick to this one point concerning this intimacy and knowing him. It's this. Because I think we don't think about this as much sometimes. Here's the thing we have to know. God wants us to know him. No, really. Like, his desire is that we know him. How do I know that? How do you know that? When we look at the Bible, let's just, will you go with me? Let's say, let's just look at the Bible like we're standing way over the top of the Bible. And now we can see the overarching story of this entire Bible. When we look at it from a big view, what we see is God's story. And this is God's story telling his story about his relationship with his people. That's the whole theme of the Bible. He wants us to know him. So much so that all down through generations and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, he told men and women, take a pen and paper or a chisel, you know, back in the day, you know, they couldn't go down to the dollar store back in the day, pick up a pack of paper with some pens. There was some other stuff they needed to do in order to record his story by the Holy Spirit. You know, way back in the day, he told Moses, hey, write that down. When they went to war with the Amalekites, he said, hey, write that down. And wait a minute, crossing the Red Sea, you make sure you document that, write that down. See, why? Because the Lord went in all the way up to our days, wanted to make sure that we could look in this book and find that he's vulnerable. He has made himself vulnerable to us, that we may know him. See, here's the thing about relationship, right? So, and I don't know, I've been in a few. I like to use me as an example. I've been in a few. We won't talk about it. That's sin back in the day. But well, I've been in a few. And so, but in these relationships, you know, let's say, we'll talk about a romantic relationship first. And in these relationships, you know, and especially more common with women, women will say, well, you know, but he won't be vulnerable with me. You know, it's more common that way. And so, but he won't, there's this, and you know, there's certain parts about him, he won't tell me. And if we're honest, can't we say, and with that hidden secret, with that part of you that you have put under a basket that we can't see, that it builds a distrust. What is it I don't know? What are you hiding from me? And for men too, you know, yes, he has a secret bank account, supposed to be secret, but I know about it. You know, like, so what is it that you're hiding? It creates a distrust. So here's the thing. The Father wanted to make sure we had no reason to distrust him. He laid him whole, his whole self out here in the Bible. He said, look here, you want to know something about me? Turn the pages. It's all in here. I have exposed myself totally for you. Now, of course, let's go here for all of us who will be thinking. Can we at any time know everything about God? Well, no, of course not. But we know what we need to know to trust him. And here's another thing, Bible scholars that studying the Bible, I want you to know this too about the Word of God. It is this. There's also this thing that says, if he did it before, he'll do it again. Yep. And that's it, the Bible is structured that way. So when we go back to the Old Testament and we look at the Old Testament and some of the things that the Lord did in the Old Testament, oh, we can rightly say if he did it back then for them. Oh, absolutely. When he says, if you obey me, I will take sickness out of the midst of you. Oh, I claim that one. I'll take it. Yeah, because if he did it before, he'll do it again. And I said that for a reason. I want to make this point with us this morning. By the help of the Holy Spirit, it's this relationship with God and this whole idea that God wants us to know him. We could go back to the Israelites. in the story of the Exodus. And so the Exodus, let me say this, the Exodus is like a picture. It is a shadow. It is the foretelling of the redemption plan through Jesus. That's what the Exodus stands for us. And so we know he brought the Israelites out of Egypt and all the way through over the Red Sea. And they did all that and they came to a place called Mount Sinai, right? Mount Sinai is where the real problems started, at Mount Sinai. Maybe you haven't seen this before, but I want to point this out to you. The problem started because our God, our holy God, our righteous God, so holy and so righteous, if he gets close to sin, people start dying. That's where the problem started, see, at Mount Sinai. And why is that? Because, see, when God was up here in heaven, you know, come on out of Egypt, y'all, up there in heaven, none of the Israelites were dying. None of them were dying. His proximity was way up there. See, when he was up in heaven, you know, come on, let me get you through the Red Sea. Folks wasn't dying then, you know, because of his holiness. He was up in heaven, but he didn't want to stay up there. He wanted to be amongst his people, see. And so when the whole event of Mount Sinai, see, you got to see, is because God wanted to be in the midst of his people. He wants to be close to his people. And so, but only to do that, his holiness with all sin, folks going to die. And so he told Moses this. He said, Moses, well, now I'm in the book of Exodus, you all. You can read this in the book of Exodus. He told Moses, he said, Moses, go tell the people, sanctify themselves. Can I really sanctify ourselves enough to be in the presence of God and his holiness? Not really. So he said, go say, tell them, wash their clothes. Think about this. What did washing clothes have to do with it? Was washing clothes good enough? Of course not. But you know, here, let's see this. The washing of the clothes, the sanctifying yourself, was a commandment so that people of Israel, just obey my commandment. Because if you obey my commandment, see, now I can use that as righteousness and I can come closer to you. Wash yourself, wash your clothes, wash your clothes. Wash your clothes. So anyway, but the day comes, and Moses said, come on, y'all, we're gonna see the Lord. We're going to go to the Mount Sinai. We're going to see the Lord. And the folk got around that mountain, and the Lord told, God told Moses, tell the people, don't touch this mountain, not even your animals. Don't touch this mountain. You will surely die. So they all come around the mountain with nice, sharp, clean clothes on. And here comes God out of heaven to descend down on a mountain. And what happened? Man, the mountain starts shaking and there's smoke going on. And the trumpet sound, he opened his mouth and it sounded like a trumpet that was so loud they couldn't even stand to hear it. Here's God, but here I am though amongst my people. There are people like, oh, no, wait, whoa, Lord, wait, whoa, no, we can't do this. They were afraid because of the holiness of God, but did it stop him? Did it stop God? No, he wants to be amongst his people. And so I want you to know this, because right now we're talking about him so that we know a little more about him. You know, the intimate part of him. They say God is a spirit. He doesn't have emotion. They say that's what they say. Well, I don't know. I only know what the word says. And what I do know is God has a desire to be amongst his people. And so again, the whole reason for the civil laws and the ceremonial laws, you know, those 613 laws that the Lord gave to Moses for the people, was for the reason, it was simply his grace. It was for the reason so that he can now when you build this tabernacle in the wilderness, that now I can come descend in this tabernacle, it can be a place where I can dwell amongst the people. But we got to have something here, because I'm holy and my righteousness will kill them all. And so he has this plan of the 613 laws. And if you obey these, and if you obey the sacrificial laws, see, if you obey these, I can use this, the Lord, and I can be amongst you. We're talking about now relationship. We're talking about intimacy. We're talking about desire. And now, not ours toward him, but his towards us. How aware are we that God wants to be with us that much? I tell you, because that being that back in the Decalogue days, back in the Exodus days, back in the Israelite days, back in those days where there was the ark and in the presence of the Lord and in the tent of meetings, where Moses would go face to face with God and speak mouth to mouth with him. You know, back in those days, again, is a picture of what was to come. And so what did come? Well, we know here again, the same God, holy, the creator of the entire universe, the same God, he now has a better redemption. What does he do? He sends himself into the form of a human so that he can show himself to us for 33 years. Well, at least three of those, or three and a half of those, 33 years, we find out what he looks like. This is how he acts. So he's hiding nothing from us. When we see it through the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, I do miracles. Yep, you have some crumbs, piece of fish. I'm going to feed 5,000 people. This is how I roll, see, so that you can know who I am. I'm a God of compassion. I sit with sinners. I do that, you know, and I say, that's what I do. I lay hands and heal. So you know me. Nothing is hidden from you. You can trust me. And that same Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, the plan of redemption, went to the cross. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. And the thing, that one thing that kept us out of the presence of God, Jesus took care of that. He washed away our sins. He redeemed us from the condition of sin. For everyone that will believe on him is now washed away. So we have what? Free access. Direct access to a holy God through Christ. And so we can see God wants us to know him. He went from Exodus all the way up to today's the new covenant, where he brought himself to earth to die so that we now can have direct access with him. There is no limit, no measures, no veils, nothing separating us from the Father through Christ. And that's how intimate he is with us. How much more then now do we know, as we are in this year practicing the presence of God. Now we can practice the presence of God, not knowing that, oh, he wants to hear from me. He wants to know about my little toe that's hurting. He wants to know about the person over there that I'm afraid of. He wants to know. He wants me to talk about this habit I have that I can't get rid of, seem to get rid of. He wants to talk about these things. He wants to be in our every moment of every day. And this is how we're saying we want to practice the presence of God, because we're going to invite him. He wants to be here. He wants to be with us. He wants to be with you and I. He wants to. He wants to. Amen. All right. Jeremiah 9:23-24. And I'm going to close with this. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23-24. The one point that we're making today, the one idea, the one thought, the one truth, that I pray we are grasping today, that we can take with us throughout this week, throughout this year, throughout our lives, is that we're not just in a pursuit after God. But see, this is a two-way relationship here. You ever been in that relationship? You wonder, am I in this by myself? Am I the only one? Am I in this by myself? Well, we're not in this by ourselves, but we have the Lord our God who wants us to be in his face continually. See, you know, not like us as parents. I mean, you know, come on, let's tell the truth. Not maybe like our parents, because listen, he's on the line. Can I talk about Dion? He's on the line. So, but wait a minute. But let me tell you though. Dion, when he was a boy, he could talk. I mean, he could go. Man, I tell you, he would get home from school, and I mean, Dion would go nonstop. I loved it. I loved him. But it came to a point when I would be going to watch this. I would say, and I'm cooking, But Dion, 4 or 5 year old, smart Dion, he would say, Mommy, can you talk with your mouth? Because he knew I wasn't listening. could you talk with your mouth? Because I've zoned out at this point, son. I've zoned out. Lord knows, I know the Power Rangers and this one's name and that one's name. I'm zoned out on you, son. I'm zoned out on you. Bless the Lord. But see, our Father who is God is not like that. He doesn't zone out on us. He doesn't at all. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. And I am closing with this. God saying to the people of Israel, which by the Holy Spirit is saying to us today, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Okay, what do we glory in? But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. There it is. There it is. And yeah, to see, this is how we're never without options. This is how we're never lost. This is how it's never the end for us. This is why. This is why destruction doesn't belong to us. Because what we glory in is understanding and knowing him. That's a term of intimacy. That word understanding doesn't mean just you understand what a person does, but you also understand why and how. You comprehend that person and how they do a thing. And know me, that intimate knowing of me. He says that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things, the Lord said, watch this, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. The Bible, look at your Bible, says it like mine. I delight, saith the Lord. So I'll say this once again. I don't know whether or not God has emotions or not. I don't know that. But what I do know is that the Word of God has just communicated to us that God takes pleasure in showing loving kindness and justice and righteousness to us that know him. He takes pleasure in this. Well, maybe you don't call pleasure an emotion, or but and maybe it's not, but it is a subjective action. I take delight. It's subjective, and it comes out of a place of intimacy. And so here again, I trust the point has been made this morning that not only do we seek the face of God, but he wants us to. And he has made the way. I mean, he has come way down from Adam and Eve, down through Abraham, now through Moses, and all through the kings and the prophets, And he come all the way through the Gospels and the book of Acts and all through, down through church history and all of that, to say to Safe Refuge Ministries this morning, no, I want to know you. As you're practicing my presence, Mom Swan says, the Lord says to us, stay in the path. Stay on the way as we practice the presence of God this year. And as we realize more and more the soul peace and spiritual well-being that we have been given through Christ, we'll stay on it. We'll stay with it. And now with a more keen, a precise knowing and understanding, that intimate knowing of the Lord. Oh, he wants me to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Bless his name. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for the time that we have spent with you. From 9 o'clock this morning until this time, Lord, we have spent with you. And for everything you have done, everything you have said, for every deposit that you have placed in us, we say thank you. And yes, we receive. And I pray, Lord, for us, that in the coming days, that we will, as we are applying the application of the word that we hear, that we'll remember that we can run to you like Princess testified this morning. We can run to you at any time, in any place, and you're always there wanting to hear from us. And we give glory to you for that this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, people of God. Let's see. Do we have a salvation invitation this morning? Now, you may be listening to this message or sitting with someone, and maybe I don't see you, but if you hear this message and you say, what? A God that wants me to come to the... I want that. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. See, there is a God, holy God, who, through Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, cleared the way for us that we have direct access to him in all of his goodness, and it's called eternal life. And so the invitation for you today, if you say, I want this, you can, and it's very simple. Just ask. And so I will lead you in a prayer, and that prayer is will be asking the Lord to come into your life. And once you do that, you will find and you will know that you are a child of God completely. Say this prayer. Father, I am a sinner, separated from you by sin. I don't want to live that way anymore. I heard your word that you want me to be in your presence, that you want to be my God, that you want to be my Lord and Savior. And Lord, I want that too. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord and be my Savior. Jesus, I don't know what this is all about, but I commit to learning your ways. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Glory to God. If you said that prayer, brother, sister, if you said that prayer, you are a child of God. You are saved. Salvation belongs to you. Eternal life is yours completely and totally, even right now. Now, wherever you are, you need a local church, a body of believers that you can connect to help you along the way. And so wherever you are, find a church that's teaching the Bible, that'll teach you the love of God, that'll teach you the way of Christ, and get connected there. Now, if you don't have that, you can reach out to us. You can email us at safe refuge in Christ, and it's all words, all spelled out like a sentence, safe refuge in Christ thebrotherhood@gmail.com. Or you can call or text us 240-619-8828. And we'll be happy to reach back to you. Well, no, let me say it again. We'll be happy to reach back to you and help you along the way. Glory to God. Well, all of heaven is rejoicing because you have come home to the Lord. And we rejoice with you too. Hallelujah. All right, announcements. This is Sunday. So tomorrow, we know we're praying all day. Wednesday is our midweek service. And guess what, you all? Jocelyn is coming to church on Wednesday. Jocelyn will be back on Wednesday. Jocelyn will be back. Yes. And then on Friday is our night of prayer. And the Lord has really, truly, truly been meeting us at our night of prayer. Our brother Alex is leading that focus on Friday night, each service at 7 p.m. We'd love to see you. Please join us at any time. So that's my announcements. Benediction. Brother Alex, would you please?
Thank you, Father. We give you praise for gracing us with your presence on today. Oh, filling the room and filling us. We thank you for this word that you shared through our pastor, LaVon, for us to eat on it. Not just today, next week. You've taken ample notes. God, help us as we meditate on those notes, those scriptures, that they get down in our spirit. Oh, Father, God, equip us. Gear us up. Show us our supplies, our resources in the spirit, how we will engage in prayer tomorrow. God, I thank you that you will give us energy and strength we didn't know we had.
Yeah.
Oh, Father, we don't go in just to sit on the sideline and pray quietly. We're going in to do a job and to get it done effectively. Oh, Father, oh, things will happen.
Yeah.
Big things will happen noticeably in the spirit realm and in the natural realm. We give you praise that this week will be the most productive week these people of God, these precious saints of God, have ever had. At work, they'll be the most effective, most productive. They'll get things done. And you'll get the glory, God. You'll get the praise. Yes. That people will see Christ in their lives, in the workplace, in the marketplace. Oh, and those of you who are entrepreneurs, business owners, God will make paths,
yeah,
roads that never existed. He will do the impossible. He'll give you ideas, witty inventions the world's waiting for. He'll show you how to market it. And in the right market, at the right time, to get the most use. Oh, Father, those who are retired, though they think, but God, you still have a plan for them to change this world. Oh, you may be of that age. Oh, but God got good news for you. He still has things he's going to cause you to do. And you're going to know it is the Lord who's given me grace and favor to keep winning souls. Ah, I thank you, God, that these people have favor like they've never known, that you have it on them like a shield. Everywhere they go, favor goes with them. God, I thank you that this week will be promising, a delight, that they can hardly wait for the week to start, because you're going to bless them immensely. Ah, you're going to bless their socks off. Because that's what you do. Because they got a job to do. Not just for their pockets to be full. The storehouses before, they got a job to do. And they're going to do it well. In the name of Jesus, everywhere they go. Bless their children, their grandkids, godchildren, nieces, nephews, loved ones, friends, co-workers, neighbors. Everywhere they go, God, let them make a difference. Ah, let you show up in their lives and show out. We thank you for it. And the people of God says, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. All right. All right. Certainly anyone that has to drop right now, I absolutely understand. we'll make the schedule based on what works for you. And the schedule too, let's see, some of you may have come on afterwards, after I made the announcement. So the announcement is this: the Lord has called us, his children at Safe Refuge Ministries, to pray tomorrow, starting tonight at 12:01 a.m. until 12 p.m. on the inauguration day. And again, I want to be very clear of the call to pray. The call to pray is not for or against a political personality. It is not that. But again, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle, and we wrestle against the principalities and powers in the air and all types of wickedness. So in the spirit, we will be wrestling against, I don't know. He didn't tell me everything. He just said pray. And so that's what I'd like for us to do. So in order to fulfill what he has asked us to do, I have asked those of us who can and who will want to choose 1 hour within the day to pray. Now, I understand that everybody doesn't necessarily know about praying for an hour, which is understandable. And so that being the case, I am going to, at saferefugeministries.org, saferefugeministries.org, I'm going to put that in the chat. I will upload some prayers that you can pray. And that still may not take you a whole hour. So what you can also do is you could praise the Lord, or Thanksgiving, or, you know, scriptures, or whatever the case may be for that hour. All right. And again, 12:01 to midnight. We're not praying for or against any person. We are praying in the spirit. We're doing our work in the spirit. All right. Okay. So Princess says she'd like to take 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. I'm pretty sure nobody's going to argue with you. Or 6 to 7. Anybody mad at Princess because she wants to start praying at 5 a.m. in the morning? See what I mean? Nobody's as mad. All right, Princess, I got you. 5 a.m. 5 a.m. to 6. All right, anybody else?
Well, I'll take Pastor. I'll take 6 to 7.
All right. Our brother Alex is taking 6 a.m. to 7
a.m. Also, Pastor, while I got you, your ear, give me 12 midnight to 1, too.
Oh, anybody mad?
Yeah, you stole mine. You stole mine.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry. Well, no, I'll back up. So if you take 12 to 1, I'll take 1 to 2.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, wait.
We'll high five in the spirit at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay, so John, you're 12 to 1?
Oh, no. April got 1 to 2. Now, these people are excited.
Okay, wait.
Listen.
Okay, yeah.
April, no, April.
1 to 2. Okay, so all right, thank you.
Oh Jesus. So well, give me 2 to 4.
Oh, okay.
Alana said she wanted 3 a.m. or 3 p.m.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Listen, this is excited people. Now this is what we want. Mom Swan, you can have 3.
Okay, Mom Swan, you want, what do you want?
Both 3 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon if they're both needed.
Oh, okay. 3 a.m. and 3 p.m. Okay, great. Got you. Three to
I'm gonna be
four.
wise. Is there somebody taking 2 a.m.? Because apparently,
Two to three.
because I don't want to take it if somebody else is taking it
Okay.
or wants it. I'm sorry, because I want us to make sure that this is flexible.
Okay.
But whoa, I like this excitement.
Me too.
Whoa.
Oh, I'm so excited. 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. Okay, Brother Alex, I got you for that one.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we have from midnight, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 7. Okay. So starting from 8 to 9. Anybody else? And again,
I'll
anybody?
take those denied.
Okay, Miss Viola, 8 to 9. Okay. Anybody else?
You may clarify that this is Eastern time, right?
Oh, yes, please. Okay. Oh, 5 minutes. Oh, okay, got that. Okay, did I get everybody? Mom, so I don't know why I didn't get your. Oh, okay, I will. Pastor LaShawn, I will. Princess, I'll reach out to her. I don't know why I didn't get your chat thing.
Don't worry about this. It's the first one.
Oh.
Is 10 to 11 open?
10 to 11 is great. Thank you. Yes. Deborah has 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Is that my Miss Deborah?
Yes, it
Wait.
is.
That's my Miss Deborah.
Hi,
Hello.
y'all.
Pastor, question. We're praying for 24 hours, right?
Yeah, did I say 12? I did say 12, didn't
Well, you did say, well, so yeah, okay. So we are.
Yeah, from 12 to 12.
Oh, just 12 hours.
Yeah, that would be 12 hours.
Okay.
12.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yes. 12 hours. I had to second guess. Wait a minute. Is that 12 hours? I had to go back to my elementary school math. Yes. Okay.
So, Pastor, just to be clear, I am 2 to 3.
You are 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. and 2 to 3.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, wow. I am so blown away. So excited. Thank you all so much. Like, I am so encouraged. I can't tell you what flesh always got something to say. I was like, Lord, you want me to say what? And look at you. Oh, bless the Lord. He promised that we'll get it filled. He had already touched your heart. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. So again, now you all, as you're talking and reaching out to others, if you know of someone else who also wants to jump in on our schedule, then you just let me know and we will put them down. And it's okay if we have more than one person praying within that hour. All right.
Cars do have available now.
We have available now from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. So from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And of course, I'm going to fill in wherever we don't have anybody. And then if we get them all full, then I'm just going to jump in. Okay. Woo! Praise
I
the
can
Lord.
do 3 p.m. also if you want, if you
Oh, that's
need it.
right. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. Mom Swan has 3 to 4 p.m. too. Okay, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. Okay, this is your line right here. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Okay. All right. All right.
I saw Alex's face because he's still trying to do the math. Because so from midnight tonight, 12 a.m., John and Rebecca start praying. But It's 12 hours to noon, but now Mama Swan picked up 3 in the afternoon after that. So are we going to go all the way to midnight, post to post? Or yeah. are we going midnight
so
to
that's
noon?
That's 24.
That's 24 hours.
Actually, it's 24 hours. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's
right. Now Alex feels better now.
Yeah, that's right. It was like, wait a minute. Because I was thinking, isn't it 24 hours in a day? Okay, 24. I love it. Oh my goodness. Any teachers on the line? Okay, good, good, good. No teachers on the line. Oh, great.
Burning left.
Yes, we have 10 to 11. We have 12 to 1 p.m. and everything after 4 p.m. is left. So as you all are reaching out, and I'll be reaching out as well, we'll get them all filled. Just know that. And we're going to pray as the Lord has requested of us. Amen.
Well, since you're here, give me, Mom Swan has what, 3 to 4?
3 to 4. Mm-hmm.
Give me 4 to 6.
Oh, okay. All right. There we have it. Okay, good. All right. And if anybody else say, hey, no, okay, I want another one or whatever, don't be shy. Just reach out. Let me know. It'll be all good. Amen. All right, everybody. I always hate to go, but we must go. Have a wonderful Sunday. Again, everyone, thank you all for coming to church and bringing your all to church, bringing your expectation to church in your being here. It shifts the way the Holy Spirit moves, because he's going to feed everybody, right? So when you're here, that's how significant you are. You're that significant. So thank you all for being here. And you know how I say, I do love you all. I do. Especially, like, you know, my love is a little conditional. I really love y'all today. Because, you know, you're signing up. Man, do I love y'all today for sure. But Jesus, man, he loves you no matter what. Have an amazing week. We'll talk soon. Thank you, John.